Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Focus of investors definitely moving from stay-home stocks to what could be rebound stocks. Where can the sustained recoveries be? It's been another night of bullish sentiment on Wall Street. The Dow, S&P 500 and NASDAQ all jumped more than 1%. The NASDAQ back in record territory, wiping out the losses for 2020. The S&P 500 in the green for the year. It's as if the huge sell-off in March didn't even occur. But what does this mean for markets here in Asia? We get the Singapore perspective. Wilfred Lim is Executive Director of BMFA Wealth Management. Good morning, Wilfred. How are you?
Hi, morning, Michelle. Good, good. Happy to be back.
Yeah, great to have you with us. We're going to get through quite a bit, but first up, the whole theme of today is looking forward to what a post-COVID economy could look like and where recoveries could be sustained. But in terms of what we know and what we don't know, you know, we were talking about the jobs report from the U.S. jobs report for quite a bit. It was quite a shocker. But it now looks like the jobs report has been inaccurate for the last 2 months. There's been admissions that the government household survey mistakenly counted about 4.9 million people as employed, although they were unemployed. So had the mistake been corrected, the unemployment rate would have risen to 16.1% in May. What do you make of a possibly inaccurate jobs report?
Well, you know, looking at the markets in the past 2 months or so, it seems like overall, the market seems to be just ignoring a lot of the bad data that's coming out. And I think there is some justification to that because, you know, the market is pricing in a V-shaped recovery. And the main reason is because these lockdowns are self-inflicted, meaning that there was, you know, apart from the COVID thing happening, the lockdowns were self-inflicted. And right now, we are turning the switch back on again. Right. And if you look at people's behavior, the world actually wants to reopen. Nobody wants to, you know, stop working and do nothing and be stuck at home. Right. So that's driving a lot of anticipation for demand coming back as we reopen the economy.
All right. Yeah. Speaking about the reopening of the economy and people getting around, that's going to have implications on oil. I saw oil prices rose this morning after reports that armed forces entered state-owned Sharara oil field and told employees there to stop working. There remains an overhang from the view that non-compliance of OPEC members are going to brazenly ignore the New Deal. What are you seeing when it comes to the reopening of world's economy? Will that necessarily mean higher oil prices from here?
Yeah, I think we have already seen that price into the market as we rebounded from April's negative, you know, prices, something we've never seen before. All right, so WTI, if I'm not wrong, has rebounded about 300%. Brent oil has rebounded about 100%. To look into this, you know, let's look at the supply and demand side. So supply, like you mentioned, the OPEC Plus just extended their production cuts agreement from June and into July. But yeah, there has been sentiment that not everyone is playing a fair game, right? So they've also demanded that countries like Nigeria and Iraq, you know, to compensate for whatever they lacked in terms of production cuts in May and June. So this continues to bring down the supply. And also Saudi Arabia has a lot of vested interests to get oil prices back to $70 because that's about their break-even price to fund their government spending as a country, right? And at the same time in the U.S., if we follow the Baker Hughes numbers, oil rigs have been going down drastically. In March, there were 680 oil rigs in the U.S. operational. And in June, it just came out a few days ago, it was only at about 200 oil rigs. So the supply has definitely come down, and that's you know, a natural phenomena. While on the other side, the demand side, China has reported that oil demand has recovered to more than 90% of levels just before the pandemic. Right, and if you look at travel, the U.S. domestic travel, if we look at the TSA's data, in April, the domestic travel was about 80,000 passengers a day. And just a few days back, it hit close to 400,000 passengers a day. So, yes, with the reopening of the economy, you know, demand for oil will seems to be back up again. Obviously, we are nowhere near what it used to be, because the U.S. Domestic travel used to be about 2 million passengers a day. Yeah. So, and, you know, we see it in the economic numbers as well. China's PMI numbers were unexpectedly expansionary in May. And we just talked about the U.S. employment data as well. There was a huge shocker. I mean, even with the errors in, you know, how they determine who was unemployed or not, even the adjusted numbers, you know, still looks promising in terms of our road to recovery.
Yeah, speaking of those payroll numbers, we saw gold prices dip after those numbers were released. Gold prices have recovered a good chunk of that. But with all the risk coming back to the markets, we're seeing a sell-off in the U.S. dollar. What about safe haven gold? How is it doing?
Safe haven gold, yes, although there's been a sell-off, I think it's still holding pretty well. In terms of the technical levels, it went briefly below 1,007 per ounce, and now it's back up again, right? So gold, I would say, is an alternative to cash, in my opinion. And right now, there is still nervousness around the stock markets. Not everyone believes in this V-shaped recovery. Yeah, and there's still the risk of a second wave of the coronavirus coming as we reopen. And even in Singapore, our ministers are saying that the cases will definitely go up, right? It's how we contain it that's to determine, you know, what's going to happen from here.
Indeed. Okay, let's get your view on different sectors and whether or not we can expect a sustained rebound. Let's start with the travel industry. We know here at home, Singapore Airlines has raised 10 billion Singapore dollars in liquidity through its recent rights issue. The national carrier says this puts SIA on a steady footing to tackle the challenges posed by the global COVID-19 outbreak. So, you could start domestically or you could take us on a world view. How do you see the travel industry looking post-COVID-19?
Well, taking a quote from PM Lee's speech a few days ago, right? He did say that global movements of people and goods will be greatly reduced as compared to before. And even industries such as travel, like aviation, hotels and tourism, it will take a long time to recover. So what we're seeing now is domestic travel is going to recover first. International travel, as much as we want to, I'm sure for yourself as well, it would be nice to have a holiday overseas right now.
Indeed.
But it's just not possible, right? So in terms of travel, I'll be looking at domestic travel first. We've seen a huge rebound in the U.S. airlines over the past few weeks. The Chinese airlines seem to be picking up as a laggard, you know. So hotels as well. There are some articles saying that hotels are seeing an uptick in hotel bookings, and we also see on a lot of social media that tourist places are packed with locals, both in the U.S. and China, in terms of their national parks and so on. Yeah, but looking at a more local market in Singapore, it's going to be difficult for us to capture any of this, because it's just not possible to fly into Singapore. And I guess a lot of us will be looking at staycations, but local demand itself is just not sufficient, you know, to get us back to where we were before. Yeah, so travel industry also, you know, as we start to recover from this pandemic, there are a lot of deals and promotions being thrown out there. I'm not sure if you saw Japan and Sicily in Italy are suggesting that they may pay for half of your trip when flights finally reopen.
Really? Wow, I love Italy.
Yeah.
That's great news. Wow.
Yeah. So let's hope it happens, right? Yeah, they'll pay for half of your airfare and accommodation if you go to their countries.
High on my list for sure. Yeah, we've been skirting around the issue, but I haven't asked you directly. Do you think we're in the midst of a V-shaped recovery?
It's a tough call. The stock market certainly suggests it is, right? My personal view would be possibly a W-shaped recovery. So as we rebound from this, no doubt the economy will pick up again. Everyone is just dying to get out of their houses. But, you know, containment of a second wave of virus, it's not easy. It's human nature. You know, we just want to go out there. We want to be with our friends and families. And inevitably, the cases will spike. Hopefully, not as bad as before. But we'll see.
All right. Yeah. That's a big change, because just a couple of weeks back, whenever I asked the question, you know, most responses were it was naive to think, even contemplate a V-shaped recovery. So quite a change there in terms of sentiment. Wilfred Lim is Executive Director of BMFA Wealth Management, cluing us in into what he sees as potential recovery spots or areas or sectors for a post-COVID world. Let's look at the sports industry. I know pro sports leagues are planning to make a comeback as soon as possible, of course. What do you think? Is sports and entertainment going to be the same post-COVID?
Not in the near term, I feel. All right. So, yeah, like you mentioned, major sporting leagues are starting to resume. We have the English Premier League coming back on 17 June. That's really near. And the NBA as well, looking to open on 31st July, all right? But most of them, they have plans and restrictions in place to either have zero or very minimal live spectators. Yeah, so I guess it's more of a sense of getting the games back in order again, but they still need to figure out the safety precautions to take. But one thing interesting to point out, though, the UFC is actually embracing this very well, I feel. That one of the recent matches, they had, I think, 700,000 pay-per-view buys on ESPN. And they were charging, I think, about $65 per view. So if you do the math, that's massive revenue when everyone else is still trying to figure out how to get the live games back in order.
You're a mixed martial arts fan?
Somewhat.
Yeah, I think they've done really well moving to the pay-per-view model ahead of a lot of other sports.
So
it'll be interesting to see how they evolve Ultimate Fighting Championship. All right, we are moving on and speaking with Wilfred Lim, Executive Director of BMFA Wealth Management. I came across an interesting report yesterday, DBS's report, saying the Singapore office sector is near an inflection point. In fact, DBS upgraded its recommendation for CCT Capital and Commercial Trust to buy from hold. What are your thoughts on this?
I personally feel it's just in line with the V-shaped recovery. That's the view of the markets right now. And it's really a V, because just on 30th April, if I'm not wrong, they downgraded the stock from a buy to a hold. And then within a month or so, it's back to a buy again. All right. So, they highlighted several things. The government rental rebate, of course, is helping a lot of the office rental spaces. Demand also, when COVID-19 happened, everyone thought that it's the end of the world, it's the end of the office space because of the lockdown and all that. But companies are just simply not able to make the adjustment to remove their offices completely in the short term. Right. So as we go into phase one, phase two and phase three, we will be going back to our offices, hopefully, back to a norm. And the report did point out also that companies may make adjustments to have more space instead of less because of the safety distancing requirements.
That's interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Point. Now, Wilfred, tell us about your rebound stock picks in terms of sectors to look out for. What are you interested in?
Well, to sum up what we've just discussed, maybe I would split it into the short term and the long term. Short term wise, BMFA, we're actually looking at companies or sectors that are able to quickly adapt to this new environment in terms of safety features. So maybe temperature scanning equipment and all that. That's one. For travel as well, we were looking at domestic focused airlines in the US. To name a few, we have JetBlue, American Airlines, and so on. And then we subsequently moved on to the Chinese airlines as well. We have China Eastern Air, China Southern Air. In fact, the news came out just before we started this session that a few of the airlines were halted for trading in Hong Kong, pending some news over there. So we'll see what develops from there. And in the longer term, it sounds very cliche and overstated, but the overarching theme is still technology, right?
So I think it's the FANG stocks. Is it FANG stocks on your list?
Yeah, the FANG, definitely. Previously, we talked about the Dawn stocks as well, but maybe less so as we get out of this pandemic.
Remind us again what that acronym stands for you.
Dawn was Domino's, Activision, Walmart, and Netflix.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So, but instead of focusing on just the individual stocks, it's good to also look at the industries that they're in and their peers as well, and what to look out for, right? So technology for companies or sectors that have the actual ability to digitize or pivot their business model. So in terms of the airlines that I mentioned earlier, it's more of a short-term view, right? Longer term, it's difficult to imagine changing the airline business into any other business model, right? Maybe they can figure something out, but it's not something that I can think about. Yeah, but going forward, yes, as the sporting events start to come back on again, we got online sports betting. We've been looking at that for a while. Esports as well. Before we talked about the Dawn stocks in terms of Activision, we've been looking at esports for the past couple of years actually. It's been on a rise. And also virtual reality. I didn't get to cover that in terms of the events going forward. If you remember in 2018, the Korean Winter Olympics, there was a VR function that you could participate in. So, and it's a whole, whole new experience. It's a different experience than being actually there. So right now with all this virus going on, we may see a pickup in virtual reality in live sports, right? And of course, digital payments. In Singapore as well, the government is pushing for digital payments. So everything from, PayPal, Visa, and so on. Of course, in Singapore, we're using Grab QR codes and all that. And with everything in the tech sector, and we are so heavily reliant on tech, and now that we are also working from home, cybersecurity is going to be huge going forward if it wasn't already.
Yeah. Right?
So there's going to be a lot of requirements. And hackers are just prowling. They're so happy right now because while we're making this switch, there are a lot of loopholes here and there. So cybersecurity is going to be big as well.
Yeah, that's a very important point. Pre-COVID, there was these firewalls that were coming up. It was hard to log on to a lot of things at the office. And then because of COVID and whole workforces moving home, they had to think about the friction and remove that friction so that we could get access to processes that we need. But yeah, what does this mean for cybercrime? Really interesting. So before we let you go, Wilfred, one reason why investors may be selling off the US dollar is we're seeing risk appetite on the rise. 47% up for the S&P from March is a huge figure. How do you think investors should approach markets now?
So we've covered this a little before, right? Over here at BMFA, Before we even, you know, get to opening an account with the clients, we actually want the clients to focus on their personal finances first, because it's important, you know, to keep your investing psychology in check. If you're worried about your next paycheck, or you're worried about not having enough money for food, it's just not possible to go into investing. So personal finances first. Once you get that in order, then you can start investing. And when it comes to investing as well, there's no one size fits all, right? You got so many strategies out there. You got dollar cost averaging. You got short-term trading, value investing, and so on. So we need to find a strategy that fits the individual clients as well, their own mindsets, their views on the market, as well as their objectives of, you know, how much money they're looking to make, or are they just investing for the long term for retirement? And at the end of the day, also proper risk management. You wouldn't want to put, you know, 100% of your money into just a single stock. Diversification is important, as well as asset allocation. Like you mentioned, the safe haven assets like gold and silver.
Always great insights. Terrific talking to you. Thanks for your time, Wilfred.
Thank you.
He's Wilfred Lim, Executive Director of BMFA Wealth Management in Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.